Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome to the Science of Success. Introducing your host, Matt Bodner.
Welcome to the Science of Success, the number one evidence-based growth podcast on the internet, with more than 1 million downloads and listeners in over 100 countries. In this episode, we explore rejection in depth. We talk about the incredible power of rejection, go deep into rejection therapy, look at the incredible results created by seeking out rejection and living beyond your comfort zone, talk about the magic of asking why, hear a few incredible stories from 100 days of rejection, and much more with our guest, Jia Jiang. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why you should join our email list today by going to successpodcast.com and signing up right on the homepage. First, you're going to get an awesome free guide that we created based on listener demand called How to Organize and Remember Everything. You can get it completely for free, along with another surprise bonus guide just for signing up, by joining the email list today. Next, you're going to get a curated weekly email from us every single week called Mindset Monday, which listeners have been absolutely loving. This is short, simple articles and stories that we found interesting in the last week. Lastly, you're going to get an exclusive chance to shape the show. You can vote on guests, you can impact the intro and outro music, things around the show, and you can submit your own questions to guests that we will ask them and sometimes even give you a call out on the show. So if you want to ask questions to the guests, if you want to be part of the list, there's some amazing stuff going on that's only available to our email subscribers. So make sure you sign up and join the email list. You can do that by going to successpodcast.com and signing up right on the homepage. Or if you're on the go right now, if you're driving around, or if you're just listening on your phone or whatever, just text the word SMARTER, that's S-M-A-R-T-E-R, to the number 44222. Again, just text SMARTER to 44222 or go to successpodcast.com. Either way, sign up for that email list. In our previous episode, we explored what it takes to succeed at the highest possible levels. We got into the science and the data from years in the trenches with the world's top performers, including NFL teams, Red Bull athletes, and much more, to uncover the strategies that really work for achieving results. We dug deep into the lifelong quest of discovering your own personal philosophy and much more with Dr. Michael Gervais. If you want to learn about the secrets of world-class performance and how you can use them in your own life, listen to that episode. Now for the show. Today, we have another amazing guest on the show. Jia Jiang. Jia is the founder of 100 Days of Rejection and the author of Rejection Proof. In an effort to overcome his fear of rejection, Jia spent 100 days forcing himself into situation after situation where rejection was almost guaranteed. He's been featured on the TED stage, Forbes, Business Insider, and much more. Jia, welcome to the Science of Success.
Hey, Matt, thank you for having me here.
Well, we're super excited to have you on today. I know we were talking about in the pre-show, you know, me and Austin are both huge fans of rejection and rejection therapy and all the stuff you talk about. But before we get into the meat of that, I'd love for you to kind of share your personal story and your kind of your personal experience with rejection and how that led to the challenge to get rejected for 100 days in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, my relationship with rejection has been going back to when I was a kid. And I just found out just throughout my life, I was really afraid of people's opinions and especially their rejection. But on the other side, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. You know, I want to be this fearless guy who go out and change the world and make new things. So those two conflicting emotions have always bothered me for a long time. So it took me a long time before I started my own company. And partly because it was because of this reason. I was really afraid of how people will see me and, you know, rejection from family and friends, you know, and the possible failure. So I started my own company when I was 30. And then even after I started, quit my job and became an entrepreneur, and also I found I was still afraid of rejection, so much so that I was rejected as an investment, and then I just wanted to quit right there. And that's where it kind of it dawned on me, and I was like, wow, I can't be this afraid anymore. You know, if I want to be a great entrepreneur, I want to be successful at anything, I cannot let that fear dictate my life. So that's where I said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to take rejection head on. And that's how I've discovered this concept of rejection therapy, where basically it just challenges you to do rejection. And that's what I did.
And so you set out to get rejected. Was it 100 days in a row or was it just 100 times?
It's 100 times. I mean, hopefully in a row, but at the end, it became a little bit impossible just because of all the obligations I had. But yeah, that was the original idea, that I would do 100 rejections, 100 consecutive days of rejection, where I would go and look for rejection. But it's more or less maybe 130 days or something like that.
And so tell me a little bit about some of the experiences from that. And, you know, why was your solution to fear of rejection to say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to get rejected 100 times, basically 100 days in a row?
You mean, what's the motivation behind it? Or what kind of request I made?
Yeah. So tell me, start with kind of what was your motivation for doing that? And then tell me about, you know, one or two of the experiences you had when you started doing that. And what was it like emotionally for you to go through that?
So basically the idea of rejection therapy is you go out and look for rejection. Right. Most people, actually everyone, run away from rejection or try to minimize rejection. But the idea is you are never going to cure your fear if you run away from something. The only way to overcome your fear is to embrace it, to meet it head on. And that's what rejection therapy was about. That's what I did. So I'm like, okay, I want to do this for 100 days. You know, the rejection therapy asks you to do this for 30 days, but I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this for 100 days. I'm just going to overdose on rejection. You know, I want to see what kind of badass I can become if I can desensitize my fear and just totally become fearless. So that's my incentive. And also I used my phone to film myself getting rejected because I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a video blog out of this thing. So maybe the world will hold me accountable. And That's what I set out to do, and it started out terrifying. Like it was, I the first rejection request is I went out and talked to a stranger and see if I can borrow $100 from him. I was so scared. I still remember that day, like I did, like it happened to me yesterday. I just felt something's gonna happen, right? That guy will start fighting me, and maybe like a verbal altercation will happen, or he'll call the police. And as it turned out, nothing happened. I just went out and asked him. He said no. And then off I went. But I felt so scared throughout that encounter. And so that night I was like, you know, I was looking to see, I'm looking at my video, right? I, you know, the thing about video blog is you have to experience everything twice. film myself, so I need to edit and upload that video, and then I saw how scared I was. So I said, okay, I'm going forward, I'm not going to run at the first sign of rejection. I'm actually, when I get rejected, which will for sure I will get rejected, I will stay engaged and make jokes, have fun, and negotiate. So that's how I started this whole thing.
So I do want to dig in. Tell me about, I've heard a number of stories and I've watched your TED Talk, et cetera, and heard some of the experiences. Tell me about one of the kind of most profound rejection experiences that you had, and maybe one that you haven't talked a lot about in a lot in your various kind of speeches and TED Talks.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a couple. The one that is the most famous one that I that, you know, and a lot of people know about this, which is the Krispy Kreme video, the Krispy Kreme donuts. So one day I went to this donut shop and asked them to make me donuts that looks like Olympic rings. So basically you link those final five donuts. You know, there's no way they're going to do it. No way. You know, who's going to do that? But guess what? The person did it. The donut shop, the donut maker could not let me walk away with a rejection. At the time I was looking for rejection, no matter what I tried, she was like, I think I can do this. Maybe I can do that. So 15 minutes later, she gave me a box of donuts that looked like Olympic rings. And I was just floored. And that's really kind of it put the whole rejection, 100 days of rejection experiment on the map, because that video went viral. You know, there are over 5 million views for that video. And it was really something that you know, I will never forget. And I have a lot of examples, and some of them are pretty fun. So for example, one day I said, you know, I went to Costco and I said I want to speak over their intercom, right? I want to say hi to their customers. And the manager said, no way. But I said, that's where I learned how to negotiate. You know, this is like 10 days into this. I became so good at negotiating. I'm like, hey, I'm a member, right? I'm a Costco member. I spend thousands of dollars here. Everything I say will be wonderful. I really love your store. I'm going to just say hi to your customers and tell them how wonderful your store is. And then the manager was saying, actually, if you want to say nice things about Costco, why don't you write an article for our membership magazine? You know, I'm sure they're going to love your article. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to speak over your intercom. That's all I want. And he's like, well, sorry, I can't let you do this. But you know what? I'll buy you dinner. How about you go to the pizza and the hot dog stand and get whatever you want to make you and your family happy. We're so happy that you are a good customer, but sorry, we can't say this to you, right? This worry, I mean, how can you not be a fan of Costco after that, right? I mean, I was a fan before already, but I'm a bigger fan afterward. I probably spent thousands of dollars more at Costco. The thing is, I also learned that people can say no to you, and you can say no to other people, but if you do it, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to say no, right? So I went to the other side of the table, you know, look from their lens. If you say no the wrong way, like if you're sarcastic, if you're trying to be rude, that usually doesn't make the other person feel good. But if you can be like, you know, say no the right way, like this Costco manager did, right? He was actually showing me alternatives. He actually cared about my request. In the end, he still couldn't say yes, but he gave me something else. So he made me a fan of this guy. So that's another example that I can talk about that really left a profound impact in me. So now I try, when I say no to other people, I try to do that. I try to show them alternatives and try to help them to get a yes, even though I cannot say yes to them myself.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And saying no with grace and being able to say no, but at the same time, you know, do it in a way that doesn't necessarily leave the other person kind of feeling dejected or let down. And as somebody who, you know, I kind of call myself sort of a people pleaser, you know, I never want to say no to anybody. I never want to let anybody down. And so to me, trying to figure out how to do that and how to say no to people, especially, you know, the busier you get, the harder it becomes, but the more necessary it becomes. And so I think that's a really valuable skill set and a really interesting kind of takeaway that you learn from that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us are people pleasers, right? Because that's our fear of rejection. The flip side of that is the fear of rejecting other people, right? Because if you feel like you feel you're rejecting other people, you feel like a jerk, you feel they're going to reject you because you're rejecting them, if you know what I mean. So, and that's, I mean, that's why the skill, having the skills of saying no to people is actually pretty important. But you can say it the right way that you don't have to feel bad. In fact, you can make them fans of you. And just like this Costco manager did.
And in fact, you know, you ended up being probably a bigger fan of Costco as a result of that experience than if he had just said no and kind of moved on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even the guy says no, I would not have any, you know, I would not hold any grudge because I was looking for rejection, right? So I wasn't afraid of any rejection. I was expecting a rejection. But that rejection kind of made me a fan just because how well it was given, right? How much respect the guy gave me. And a lot of times it's tough. You know, a lot of times when we say no to people, we just want to finish it. Or we end up having to say yes because we want to please them. Or if we say no, we're like, no, and no, then we just leave, right? But think about this, help them, right? When you say no to them, help them to get a yes. Like show them, and maybe you can try this, maybe you can try that. I'll think different ways that you can get a yes. Maybe it's not through me, but someone else might be able to help you. And it's tough to be mad at you when you do that to others.
And I think that is a great example, the kind of the lesson of how to say no gracefully. Coming back even to the story you told before about the Krispy Kreme donuts, the interesting thing is, and I know this personally because I am a very naturally sort of introverted person, and through essentially things like kind of rejection therapy and another kind of related learning toolkit called social skydiving, like I really was able to get out of my shell and understand how to interact with people and realize that there's really nothing to be afraid of once you kind of get in there. But the amazing thing about this, and the Krispy Kreme donut story really demonstrates it, is that people, when somebody thinks about a rejection challenge, they say, "Oh, I would never want to do that. Oh, that sounds terrible. Like, oh, I don't want to get rejected." But in many instances through your 100 days of rejection, and you've written about and spoken about, these amazing experiences come out of it, and you end up building these relationships with people. You end up creating these really authentic bonds and relationships, and it all starts from almost kind of a magic or an audacity of just putting yourself out there and not being afraid to look foolish and get rejected.
Absolutely, and I think everything. I just have a theory that everything happens outside. Everything amazing and beautiful happens outside of your comfort zone, right? We all develop these routines, daily routines and comfort zones where we get up, go to work, we go through certain motions, hopefully get some joy and excitement out of it, then go home and have our social life and whatnot, right? But that doing that, we develop a comfort zone. We're comfortable in that. But the thing is, just like entrepreneurship, these type of social, you mentioned social skydiving or rejection therapy. These type of things where you are basically challenging yourself to go out of your comfort zone, right? And you a lot of times, very just amazing things happen. It's just like most people want to start their own, like a lot of people want to start their own business. You know, I live in Silicon Valley now. I've heard so many people are saying, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. But guess what? They have this paycheck from the big company, and they feel like somehow they're holding on to it because it's comfortable, because that's their routine, because there's something they want to hold on to. But real amazing things happen when you give it up, when you just walk out of that comfort zone and see what's out there. And a lot of times, personal break, you know, a lot of times the breakthroughs happens in your personal life or, you know, in the business world, just because you get out of that comfort zone. So I recommend everyone who wants to find something amazing, wants to do something amazing, constantly challenge themselves to go out of their comfort zone.
And I think that's why I think rejection therapy is such a beautiful tool, is because it's such a concrete and practical way to blow apart your comfort zone and force yourself into a bunch of uncomfortable situations. And, you know, as you experience, and as I experienced as well, like, it doesn't take very long for you to realize, hey, it's not that scary out there. You know, on your third attempt, basically, you already had like an incredible experience where you built a bond with this woman, where you had like a life-changing memory, basically, just from going out and trying to get her to reject you.
Absolutely. And it's just not my story. I just heard stories almost every day from people all over the world who have tried this. You know, I know people who found a love with their lives, because they did this. And I found people who started a new business. I found people who started new podcasts. I've known people who actually doubled their business because they constantly try to do this now. They constantly force themselves to talk to customers who rejected them in the past, or maybe, talk to other, just cold emailing or cold talking to other people. And this really works, because when you do that, what you'll find is, I'm not saying everyone will say yes to you. In fact, I would say the vast majority of people, when you do this type of thing, will still say no to you, right? But what you find are, one, it's not really bad, right? Our brain somehow tricks us into thinking it's life and death. If we go out there and we get rejected, then my life will be ruined, right? Everyone in the world will laugh at me. I will just have no self-respect, self-esteem. But none of that happens. When someone rejects you, you just move on. And you're like, wow, that's actually not that bad. So by the fact that you didn't die or nothing happened, you become more courageous. But then sometimes people say yes to you. And that's where you get a real breakthrough. You start to find out, wow, if I can get a yes when I'm looking for a no, what else? How many yeses have I missed in my life just because I think I will get a no? Then you started becoming this guy where like you want to try everything. You start seeing everything as a possibility, and that's where a lot of amazing things will happen.
I love that quote. How many yeses have I missed in my life? It's a great way to kind of really think about it, because once you, it's like everybody's in this slumber, and as soon as you kind of pull the wool off your eyes and realize that all of these kind of social rules and norms are, there's no law of physics that makes those the case. You can go out, you can create all kinds of unique and interesting experiences for yourself. You can push the boundaries of, what's possible. You can ask for things that are preposterous. And, in many cases, yeah, you might get rejected, but the few instances that it happens to pan out, you end up creating these incredible and amazing experiences. And I think you brought up, a really, really important point, which is that it's not about getting a yes every time. And you have to go into this understanding the vast majority of people will say no, but it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if they say no, because the few people that do say yes, the few yeses that you get are these incredible experiences, outcomes, et cetera. It's something I think is really, really important.
Yes, absolutely. So it's like, people talk about, there's this saying in basketball, you miss 100% of a shot you don't take, right? But there is in basketball, there's an opportunity cost for that, right? If you're taking a shot, maybe someone else is taking a shot, or maybe there's a better shot. But in life, that's even true in life, that there are a lot of times we're just like, oh, I'm not going to ask, and I'm just going to be lazy. Let me just watch TV, or let me just do my thing and be with myself, right? It's not like you're missing out by you asking, by you making these requests, by you going out and exploring. You're missing out on something else that's important. A lot of times we'll just miss out, right? So it's not about getting the yes. It's about you, the fact that you are there exploring, that you are trying to create something. People often say, there's a saying, the worst they can say is no, right? We hear that all the time in sales and in career and whatnot. But I would tell people the worst thing that can happen is not people say no to you, it's actually you say no to yourself. And we do that constantly on a daily basis, everything. So I tell people, don't say no to yourself. If you get rejected, let the world reject you. Don't reject yourself.
I think you made another great point, which is that it's not about getting the yes. The yes is almost like an ancillary benefit. It's about exploring. It's about creating something. And being someone who's kind of gone through a similar, probably not as intense as 100 days of rejection, but, I've experimented with things like social skydiving and trying to get rejected. And it's almost like I started out being an introvert, being terrified of it. And once you start to get in there and do it, it almost becomes addictive. It's so much fun. It's so exciting. I was joking around with my producer, Austin, before this interview. I was like, you know, I was like, man, I kind of want to go out and just do a 100-day rejection challenge just because I think it'd be so much fun to do it.
It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. It really, and also it becomes an excuse for you to do and ask for everything that you thought was cool, but you were afraid of doing, or maybe you want to put up, you know, put off doing in the later. You know, one example I gave in my TED talk is I walk into a professor's room, a professor's, you know, office, and just ask him, hey, can I be a teacher? Can I teach your class? Right? And I've always wanted to be a teacher. I want to feel like, you know, someday I can teach, be able to become famous, or, you know, maybe accomplish enough that so I can, you know, teach a college class. And then that, in that 100 days, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to ask them straight up, can I teach your class now? Can you make me a guest lecturer or something? And I came in very prepared. I put a lot of stuff on my iPad, and the professor was looking at me and he saw what I was doing. He was like, that actually looks pretty good. I can use you, you know, in my curriculum. Yeah, maybe you can come to teach my class for a lesson or something. Then I did, right? So it was really fun, and I'm like, wow, I taught I was a guest lecturer in the college, and I felt like a teacher at that moment. And I just felt like, wow, there's this 100 days I could just ask, you know. But by the end, I'm like, I can ask anything I want. I can ask anything I want. There's a good chance I will get it. And if I don't get it, that's fine. That's totally fine. So I challenge everyone to do this, because by the end, it's not about going out and getting rejected anymore. It's just you having fun, you trying to see what's possible, and you challenging yourself, you know, to get out of your comfort zone.
So I think the hardest step to take is always that first step. You know, I think back to people I know that are shy, or even I've had listeners write in or reach out to me that struggle to make friends or kind of get into social situations. And I know you were terrified when you did your very first of the 100 rejection challenges. What would you say, or what kind of advice would you offer to somebody who, you know, hears all this stuff and says, yeah, that's great, but I can't do it, or I'm not ready to do it, or, you know, it's just not right for me, or it wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because there are, you know, taking that initial step is the hardest thing. You know, to me, it took me saying, I'm going to do a video blog to actually get myself to do this. I have to make that hard commitment. And before doing this, I talked to my wife. I was like, do you think this is stupid? And do you think I will get in trouble doing this? Or, you know, there's all kind of those, I got to stay in my lane. I got to be a good citizen. I can't. This looks stupid. There's even for someone like me who was set out so determined to do this, I still have to face that you know, that inertia, right? It's basically law of physics. If the object is still, it takes a lot of energy to actually start moving it, right? But once you start moving it, the energy it takes to keep it moving is a lot lower. So how do you get that initial energy to get yourself moving? You do that by doing something pretty close to your, just a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Don't go crazy. Like I did ask someone to borrow $100. That was tough. You know, that was actually pretty tough. I mean, to do this all over again, I would probably start with something easy. Something like, you know, something you don't normally do. For example, maybe pull out your phone and just message a long lost friend. You know, someone maybe in college, in high school friend, just say hi. Just say, hey, I haven't talked to you for a while. It's been a long time. How are you doing? Right? You don't do that every day. And then that's you can feel there's a little bit of awkwardness to reach out to someone who you used to know. But guess what? It's really usually not that awkward. You know, and it's, you know, the awkwardness is in your head. Usually you get pretty good response. Or if you don't get a response, so what? Right? It's not like you don't have this relationship with that person anyway anymore. Right, it's not like you ruin your relationship by doing something like this. So start small, or maybe write a quick email to your high school teacher or maybe your college professor, telling them about your whereabout. Right, these are just start something small and see what happens. Then once you do the first and second one, you can expand your comfort zone a little bit. You know, go walk out. You know, be on the street, and when you see people, just say hi to them. Right. Say hi to them. These are not that hard. These are pretty easy. But then you build it up. You're like, maybe you talk to someone, you shake their hand.
maybe ask to borrow instead of $100, maybe ask to borrow $1, maybe ask for a ride. You build it up, eventually you'll be like, hey, can I get a piggyback ride of you? Can I untie your shoes? You get crazier and crazier, but you do it gradually.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hiring the right person takes time. Time that you often don't have. But you shouldn't let a time crunch get in the way of finding the right candidates for your business. That's why LinkedIn is the best place to post your job. In fact, I was on LinkedIn Jobs this morning looking for candidates to fill a key role in one of my businesses. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with hard and soft skills you're looking for so that you can hire the right person quickly. You can look for things like collaboration, creativity, and adaptability, looking beyond just work skills and resumes to connect you with the candidates who are a perfect match for your business. That's how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post gets in front of the people you actually want to hire, because they have a much better ability to get a deep insight into exactly who is the right candidate for you and your business. Find the right person meant for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want, and the first $50 is on them. Just visit linkedin.com/success. Again, that's linkedin.com/success to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
I love that. And you know, even some of those examples are hilarious, right? Like asking a stranger for a piggyback ride.
Yeah.
Right? But like until you start doing stuff like that, you know, you actually sometimes it works out and you end up having these like crazy, funny, ridiculous experiences that really kind of make life interesting.
Absolutely. And also you can actually blend it with your work, right? You know, I mean, who says you have to do it on the street to the two strangers? What about if you're in sales, right? Maybe ask for something and just talk, maybe call your old customer, right? Maybe ask someone to buy, when they buy something, ask them to buy something else, right? Maybe get rejected, come back again the next day, right? Or, you know, if you're a buyer, ask for a bigger discount. You know, started with going, if you're at a coffee shop, ask for like, hey, can I get 10% off of this coffee? They're like, they might ask you why. You're like, hey, you know, maybe you should offer a good guy discount. You know, I'm a good guy. Maybe, you know, something like that. It's pretty harmless. But this soon you're going to start to learn, I mean, I can negotiate off anything, right? So if you're an author, if you want to be a writer, maybe just craft an email, quick email, say find a book agent and saying, you know, hey, just like to talk. You know, what do you think about this idea? So it can be, these kind of things can be related to your work as well. So in that way, when you do that, not only you're learning more to be fearless, but also you're getting closer to your goals. You're actually, you know, advancing your careers. So try this everywhere.
That's great. Yeah. And that makes a ton of sense. It doesn't just have to be in your personal life. And in fact, you might see huge rewards from kind of integrating it into your career as well.
Yeah, I met this musician, right? You know, so he lived in Nashville. Every musician lives in Nashville, right?
I live in Nashville. But,
oh, you do? Okay.
That's right.
So so it's a great town, by the way. I've been there multiple times. It's such a hip town now in Tennessee. Anyway, so I have this guy, he's like, he's an independent musician, right? And he's like, he had this album, album he's working on. And he's like, I'm going to try this rejection therapy thing. So one of his rejection requests is to ask his music heroes to appear in his album, right? And the guy said yes. So, you know, he has an album where one of the songs that has a feature from his music hero. To him, I don't know. I mean, he said, I don't know if this album will become big or not. But just doing that has fulfilled one of the biggest dreams he ever had, is to be on the same in the same song with his music hero. And just it just happened. So, and I'm sure it helps, you know, the credibility will help his his music career and or just, you know, just fulfill his dream. So just ask for it, you know. I mean, you probably get a no, but so what? And if you ask more, what I found is, if you ask enough, there's no request that will get rejected by everyone. It's not going to happen. Like, some, you will always get a no. No matter what kind of crazy ideas, what kind of bad ideas you can think about. I mean, I challenge your listeners to do this. Think about one thing that will get rejected by everyone on earth. One request. Think about, if you use imagination to find how crazy, how evil, how bad it is. And guess what? Someone will say yes to that.
That's great. I love it. And we always like to challenge the audience on the show and kind of, and I think rejection therapy, you know, one of the beauties of this whole concept is that it takes a lot of these kind of platitudes that you hear all the time. You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You know, the worst they can say is no. All of these things that people have heard 100 times. Rejection therapy is the concrete strategy that you can implement literally today, starting right now, to move yourself down that path, to start getting uncomfortable, to make yourself face some of these fears and push through and realize that on the other side, it's not scary anymore. In fact, it's actually really fun and exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, I just have a thinking that nothing is new. I mean, nothing is that new. Like, the ideas, these self-improvement ideas or any ideas, I don't think any of them are new, right? It's just you how to implement it. And I definitely agree with you. Rejection therapy is an easy and concrete way for you to experience all these things. You don't have to be a inspirational speaker or like a sales guru or rah-rah kind of guy like a Tony Robbins to experience this. You know, you don't have to be, you know, like a hero to have accomplished a whole lot to experience this. Start small. Start with these little rejection requests and see what happens. One more thing I want to add is, you know, sometimes people tell me, hey, I'm just not comfortable asking people things. I feel like I'm bothering them, right? Now, what if you can offer to help someone something, right? What if you just like, hey, you know, I mean, you're in a grocery store. Can I help you to push your card for a bit, you know, so you can rest and, you know, so you can go, you know, go to shopping. I'll push your card. And what about maybe you offer, you're in a store saying, hey, can I buy you a coffee? You know, there's no string attached. I just want to buy you coffee. Something like that, right? In that way, you're offering to help people. Instead of just asking for things, you also get out of your comfort zone. So I think if, you know, just keeping a balance of giving and asking while getting out of your comfort zone, you can get a lot from it.
So how does somebody who, you know, circling back to this idea of someone who is afraid to take that first step or has had, you know, some traumatic rejections in the past or think, you know, rejections they feel like are traumatic, how do you get past that? Kind of taking rejection personally and feeling like it's about you when somebody says no.
Yeah. So first of all, that, you know, when you start doing this, you will find out that a lot of times, you know, especially, I mean, the whole thing about rejection therapy is you do it to a stranger, right? And then you will find out it really is not about you, because these people don't know you. Right? They reject you just because they don't think they should say yes. They don't think they should say yes to a stranger like that, right? Or they don't, you know, rejection is really not about you. It says more about the rejector than the rejected. Another thing you can do is make the same request 10 different times or 5 different times. What you will find is someone will say yes to you, usually, if you do it 5 or 10 times. You know, the law of large number, you know, will say, you know, maybe there's 20% of people will actually be open to that, right? Well, then what you find is, okay, some people say yes to that, some people say no to that, I'm the same person. And the fact that there are different answers, that shows those people are different. I'm the same, they're different. They're different in terms of the way they think, the way their risk tolerance, their preference, how they view the situation, maybe their mood of the moment, right? It doesn't say anything about you. It says everything about them. And, you know, marketing, like marketers have found this for a long time, right? You cannot develop a product that can that everyone would have. That, you know, I mean, the best product, you will get rejected by a lot of people, but you would develop a rabid fans, a fan base of a small, maybe a small group of people who love your product, right? So it's the same thing. It says about that fan base. It says about that those people who buy your product, you know, I mean, pretty much as much as about the, you know, your product yourself, I mean, itself. So yeah, try different ones. Just be curious. You know, don't set your goal to be like, I'm going to get a yes, that's my goal. No, just say, my goal is to ask 10 people. I want to see how many will say yes to me or how many will say no to me.
I know one of the stories and experiences that you had was around kind of a lesson of how to turn a no into a yes. Can you talk about that and how that kind of learning came from all of the rejections that you faced?
Yeah, so when we get rejected, our natural human tendency is to do one of two things, to fight or flight, right? You fight, you start arguing with this other person and trying to turn their head, their no into a yes, just trying to, you know, say, if I can convince you to actually change your mind, right? And your flight is you are running away. You're just like, oh, you know, that's okay. No, you know, thank you. You just leave, right? But none of those is actually a good option. Because if you fight, meaning if you try to argue, if you try to outsmart or what, you know, or whatever, usually doesn't work. Because when you start arguing, you're asking someone to change their mind. A lot of times, emotions and egos get involved. People start to dig in. It's really tough to actually turn a no into a yes. And another way is if you run, it's even worse because you are at the mercy of your own judgment. You lose confidence when you just run without giving a, you know, without actually doing anything. So I tell people, if you really want to turn a no into a yes, okay, you can start by asking why, you know, saying, so when people say no to you, ask why, you know, basically you try to find out what's the underlying reason for them to say no to you and, you know, or try to solve that problem for them, you know, help you help me, right? But also, when you say why, you stay engaged. You are buying yourself more time, right? That's, you're not arguing, you're not running away, but you're buying yourself time. You're trying to find out if you can find different ways to get a yes. There are so many things you can do to actually to turn a no into a yes. But if you fight or flight, you're gonna. Those are two of the worst options, and those are the two things we do normally.
Would you share really briefly, because I know you talk about it in your TED Talk and other places, but would you share the story of the flower?
Yeah.
How that kind of demonstrates this lesson really beautifully.
So one day, one of my rejection requests was I'm going to have bought some flower from the store, and I want to talk to a knock on stranger's house, a door. I said, can I plant this flower in your backyard? Right. And the guy, and he was like, oh, okay. That's pretty interesting. I thought you were a sales guy, but no, sorry, I cannot do this for you. And I ask why. And he's like, well, I have a dog that would dig up anything and put in the backyard. And I don't want you to waste your flowers. You know, actually my neighbor loves flower. Why don't you go talk to her? You know, and that's like, I was very happy. So because one, I just got some information. First thing I learned, it's not about me. If I just leave, I would thought, okay, maybe I didn't dress up well. Maybe I didn't, you know, the guy didn't like me or for whatever reason. It turned out to be none of those reasons. I mean, he told me about his neighbor, right? And two, I gained some very crucial information. You know, I got my referral, right? I got, you know, if you come in and say, hey, your neighbor, your friend recommend me to talk to you, the chance of you saying yes to me actually goes a lot higher. So I go in and go talk to his neighbor. She was very happy to see me, and she led me to plant the flower in her yard. And she's like, oh, you know, thank you. This is so nice. This is very interesting. Go ahead and maybe do it here. As it turned out, he was right. She loved flowers. And so, yeah, I hope the flower, this a few years ago that happened. I hope that flower is still there.
I mean, it's just another beautiful example of how all of this magic is on the other side of doing things like this, but you can't uncover it and you can't discover it until you're willing to push through that fear and push through that little voice in your head that's telling you you can't do it, or that you shouldn't do it, or that something terrible is going to happen when you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So kind of a corollary of that, another strategy you talk about uncovering was doubt, and how doubt could be a really powerful tool for kind of helping people accept some of your requests. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So doubt, a better word for doubt is, you know, empathy, right? You kind of want to you want to empathize with the other person, anytime you make some big request, they probably have some sort of objection or some sort of doubt that they have about you, right? Now, if you can actually mention those some doubts, especially if you have a good answer for, right? I mean, if you answer a doubt that you have no good answer for, that's not good. But talk about a doubt that or objection that you actually do have a good answer for, mention it, and that becomes your advantage instead of your disadvantage. If you try to hide, if you're just like, I hope none of the conversation about doubt doesn't happen, I hope everything is smooth sailing, that's a lot of times that won't happen, because people always have doubt and they won't necessarily mention it to you. They won't be like sitting there, it's like, okay, I'm gonna say no to you because all these reasons. Sometimes it's subconscious. Sometimes they have that reason. They can't even articulate it. But if you mention it, and if you're like, actually, you know what? I can solve this problem. If you do it before they do, the chance, statistically speaking, the chance of you getting a yes actually goes up, just because, you know, you demonstrate that you're honest, right? You can solve people's problems. If you can have your doubt or people, what they think about you straight on, you actually increase how much they trust you.
And we talk a ton on the show about the power of empathy. And, you know, we had a recent interview with a spy recruiter for the government who, you know, one of his core kind of lessons and strategies was focusing on other people and understanding what they need and what they want. And you know, it's so simple. When you put yourself in someone else's shoes, when you make it about them and not just about you, it's amazing how effective it can be in terms of getting them on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, empathy is, I totally agree with you. You know, I think you put it beautifully. It makes people understand it's really about them. So, you know, if you're empathizing with them, even with their doubt, and then people want to return in kind. That's what we normally do, right? If you do something nice for me, my natural tendency is to do something nice for you. Even the nice thing is you're empathizing with me, knowing my pain, my doubt. And it's like, I understand that. Let me try to solve that for you. And then you'll be like, you know what? This person is nice. I'm gonna do something nice for this person as well.
Yeah, I'm really curious. You know, you seem like a very creative guy. How did you come up with all of these different challenges for yourself and all of these different ways to get rejected?
When I started, what's funny is after the first one, the first is like, let me borrow $100 from a stranger, right? This is my first request. And I found that was like daunting and also pretty boring, you know, asking money from someone. Then I thought, what are some of the funny things I can do? I started trying to have fun, right? What are some of the things I can get rejected, but also just, I want to entertain myself in a way. And because rejection is such a, when you think about it, you know, from a normal lens, it's such a dry, such a painful experience, such a subject that you are desperately trying to avoid. How can I have that in my mind, which I can face it head on a daily basis and be able to endure this? I'm like, how about if I just try to be funny myself? I'm just trying to have some fun. I'll get rejected. I'll just amuse myself. That's why you got all these pretty funny requests where I would ask for a burger refill after lunch. I would walk into a pet store trying to get a haircut, like our dog. I would try to walk into a shipping store and try to send something to Santa Claus. You know, I just want to have fun. And what I found is somehow this turned into, you know, the idea of I'm not taking myself too seriously and I'm having fun, wow, that translates into how people can relate to you. Not just my readers, but the people I'm making requests to. And they thought it's funny sometimes. And when I think it's funny, when I don't take myself too seriously, when they reject me, the conversation never turns nasty. It doesn't turn like, yeah, it's not, it's always pretty pleasant because people can feel the positive energy in you, even if they say no to you. And I want to say that, you know, keep that type of humor and positivity in your daily work. It's okay. It's okay to have some fun when you make requests, even at work, even trying to make a sale, even in entrepreneurship. And I think that's important.
So what would be, as a starting point, obviously you've got tons of examples, but for somebody who's listening, like we've challenged them to go out and get rejected. What's a really simple, you know, one, maybe one to three kind of rejection challenges that they can implement as soon as they finish listening to this episode?
Yeah, like I mentioned this, you know, before, right? The number one thing, try to do something comfortable, right? Try to do something a little bit is comfortable, but not outrageous, right? You know, text a note friend, you know, just to get back to them, right? Just to get back, say, hey, you know, hey, how are you? I haven't talked to you for a while. How are you doing? I'm doing this right now. Hopefully we can keep in touch, right? Just do something like that. That's a starting point. Then talk to a stranger, you know, say hi to someone, you know, give someone a high five, you know, be very happy, smile at someone, right? Then buy something and ask for a discount, you know, or at a store. And if you go to a store, say, hey, can I get a discount? Or maybe you're like, hey, can I see your warehouse? Can I see what is out there? I'm always curious and I'm just wondering what's out there. Can you let me take a peek, right? These are the things that there are something you don't normally do. That's not that 100% comfortable. But guess what? When you do that, it gets you out of the comfort zone and getting you on the path of looking for things that, you know, looking for rejection.
And I think a kind of an important corollary of that is, you know, everyone has a different comfort level. So if texting an old friend is something that seems really kind of easy and seamless for you, don't do that and then say, oh, I did my rejection challenge for today. You kind of have to tailor it to something that you feel a little twinge of fear. It has to be something where you say, ooh, I don't, you know, you have to be at the edge of your comfort zone. And if you don't feel that inside of yourself, then it's too easy. And you need to find a challenge that's going to make you have a little bit of that doubt, a little bit of that, you know, second thinking, oh, I don't know if I should do this. Because when you're there, that's really where the magic happens.
Absolutely. And I think in the end, I would recommend people blend in these rejection requests that you can get from rejection therapy, you know, or something on your own, you know, invent your own thing. So I just met this guy the other day and he just told me this amazing story that after hearing my talk, he did this, his own rejection challenge, right? So he would go, he sat down in the bar coffee shop. He just write down, what are the 100 things that will take him out of his comfort zone, but also toward his goals, right? He wants to expand his business. He wants to find love. He wants to, you know, and he just want to get out of the rut, right? So he wrote down his own challenges and he just did that once per day. And a year later, you know, he's like, he just doubled his business. He's about to get married and he's inviting me to his wedding, right? So, and he was near depression. He was like so, in such a rut, and he got this out of him because he listed things that will motivate him to keep going. So you don't have to take suggestions from other people. Maybe you can list your own things.
I think that's great, and I love, you know, we've talked about it already in this conversation, but you can do this as kind of a fun adventure, as something crazy to kind of do, you know, in your free time, or you can align it with the goals that you have for your life. And that's just as powerful and can end up creating some really amazing results.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you shared another lesson, which is that if you look at some of the most impactful people in the history of the last 100 years, people like Martin Luther King, people like Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, etc., all of these people achieved what they achieved because they had a powerful relationship with rejection and they were able to power through it and use it as fuel to accomplish their goals.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you think this is where the ultimate level was rejection, whereas you embrace rejection. You know rejection actually means something good rather than something bad, right? So we in life, we'll think rejection is something bad, right? Something that we should avoid. And if you can just avoid rejection or minimize rejection your way into success, you are fooling yourself. Because the real success, that the people who really success, not only successful in their own lives, but also can change lives of other people, these are the folks that didn't do it by avoiding rejection, by trying to go through the easy route. The thing they're doing, I mean, the ideas they're spreading, the product they're building, some of the people hate them. Some of the people not only hate them, they violently hate them. In fact, the example of Nelson Mandela, he was put in jail for a long time, right? Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi, those people were assassinated. I mean, you cannot get any worse rejection than those. But that's because, you know, they understand rejection doesn't mean they're wrong. Because especially the stronger the rejection, that means the stronger the acceptance from the other side. If you can stir up strong emotions from someone, that can mean you've got something. That means there's the upside of those people. There are people who would strongly embrace you. So don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be like, oh man, people hate this. I must be doing something wrong, or maybe I'm stupid. I shouldn't do this. Think about the people you're serving. Think the people will equally embrace you with equal fervor. Think about those people. If you can find those people, if you can find your own tribe, you'll do some amazing things for them.
And for listeners who want to learn more, who want to dive in, who want to get some advice and start with things like rejection therapy, where can they find you and all of these resources?
Yeah, so you can go to rejectiontherapy.com. You know, I bought rejection therapy, I bought a domain and intellectual property from the original owner, and now I run this. And my goal and my life mission now is to make this, you know, I want to make a lot more people use it. I want to turn this into a bigger movement. So a lot of people would share their stories with me, like this guy that, you know, that I just met the other day. Right. So if you want to learn more, if you want to go, you know, experience this, go to rejectiontherapy.com, sign up with my blog. But more importantly, I'm working on digitizing rejection therapy. I'm working on making this a mobile app, an interactive social mobile app where, you could be challenged constantly with rejections, but also you will learn things from this app. If you want to be, I'm looking for testers, right? If you want to be beta tester, where when I'm done with this app, you can test things out, you'll be one of the first users of this, go to my website and sign up. I think I have a pop-up where you can put in your name and email, then I will keep you updated with this new app I'm building.
Awesome. Well, Ja, I'm a huge fan of rejection therapy. You know, I love the work you're doing. I really can't emphasize enough how excited this kind of stuff makes me. I've done it in my own life. I know how powerful it can be. And for anybody out there who's scared, who, you know, is shy, introverted, has trouble making friends or being social, or just wants to push their life to the next level, this is such an accessible, easy, simple way to get started with that. And I guarantee you, it changed Ja's life. It changed my life. It's something that you will find magic on the other side of it if you do it. So just thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this wisdom.
And also, yeah, thank you, Matt. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for inspiring people to, you know, to, I guess, to be more successful, to do better, and to be more courageous in their lives. You know, this is very important. So I really appreciate you having me on here.
Thank you so much for listening to The Science of Success. We created the show to help you, our listeners, master evidence-based personal growth. I love hearing from listeners. If you want to reach out, share your story, or just say hi, shoot me an email. My email is matt@successpodcast.com. That's matt@successpodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I read and respond to every listener email. I'm going to give you three reasons right now why you should join our email list today by going to successpodcast.com and signing up right on the homepage. There's some amazing stuff that's going on the email list that only people who are signed up are getting access to, including curated weekly emails from us every single week, our Mindset Monday email, which listeners have been absolutely loving. Short, simple articles and stories that we've really enjoyed from the last week. Next, you're going to get an exclusive chance to shape the show, voting on guests, submitting your own questions to guests that we'll ask on air, things like changing the intro, and much more. Lastly, you're going to get access to free guides, including our most popular guide that we created based on listener demand called How to Organize and Remember Everything. You can get it completely for free, along with another surprise bonus guide when you join the email list today. You can join by going to successpodcast.com, signing up right on the homepage, or if you're driving around, if you're on your phone, if you're on the go, just text the word SMARTER, S-M-A-R-T-E-R, to the number 44222. Remember, the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to a friend, either live or online. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an awesome review and subscribe on iTunes. That helps more and more people discover the science of success. Don't forget, if you want to get all the incredible information we talked about in this show, links, transcripts, everything we discussed, and much more, be sure to check out the show notes. You can get those at successpodcast.com. Just hit the show notes button right at the top. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Science of Success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.